You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift, learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men as we seek to help them grow and mature in their faith. I'm talking to Gen Z, and I'm trying to make sure you guys are growing up in the faith. And part of growing up in the faith is giving a good answer to an honest question, which is, does church membership matter? We're in a part two of a three-part series discussing the importance of church membership. So let's say that you've decided to go against human nature and against the whim of the moment and against the grain of our culture, which doesn't commit to anything, and you've decided to set out and find a local church to actually commit to. How in the world do you make a decision about how to pick the right church? What factors are you looking for, young man? What are your non-negotiables? Remember, it's not your parents' church, your church. And so what do you think of when you even think of the word church? I mean, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when I talk about church? I mean, maybe when I say church, your vision of what I'm saying is something to do with like an architectural view. You think of a little country church on a grassy hill, a little pastoral scene. Or maybe you think of a huge mega church that feels like an auditorium or even like an arena. Or maybe you like the strip mall church, you know, the storefront church of the new startup church there in town. Or maybe your view of the church is more of a romantic view of the church. You know, you think about the church you grew up in. You desperately want to return to the image of singing hymns out of a hymnal and attending Sunday school and then having potluck lunch there at the church where everybody brings a covered dish and you have fun memories of playing in the churchyard and all the people were nice and all the people were perfect. And it was just a very romantic view of the church that you're remembering the nostalgia of yesteryear. Or maybe when I say the word church, unfortunately, some people have a wounded view of the church. Maybe you're listening today and you have a jaundiced view of the church. Maybe you or your parents were wounded by people at the church. There was a nasty church split. There was some type of sin or infidelity of the pastor or one of the key leaders. Maybe there was the embezzlement of funds. Maybe you have never been able to move beyond the hypocrisy, to move beyond the pain. And so when you think of church, it hurts. Or maybe you have a critical view of the church. I mean, there's lots of people who are highly critical of the church, maybe because of some of the wounds of the past. Maybe you've been to lots and lots of churches and you kind of critique churches. In fact, it's your spiritual gift. You love to critique churches. You like to Yelp churches. Did you know that some people Yelp churches? I mean, you can go and visit, like visiting a restaurant. And when you're done, you can say, too big, too small, it's too loud, it's too quiet, it's too modern, it's too ancient, it's too friendly, it's not friendly enough. You know, some people like to Yelp churches, and maybe as a critic, you are looking for the church's imperfections, and you get so focused on your own preferences that you forget to see the point. They had bad coffee. They dressed too formal. An old lady gave me a mean look, so I'm only going to give them one and a half stars. Or unfortunately, these different views of the church have left many unsatisfied in their pursuit of the perfect church. And they're looking for a church with no problems. And they're looking for a church that has perfect people. And they're looking for a church that has ushers with little angels' wings under their coats, a church that has babies in the nursery that don't even cry or poop in their diapers. They just want a church that sings hymns in perfect harmony. They're looking for a church where the pastor preaches perfect sermons. He sings. He visits every member in the church every week. and he runs an evangelistic crusade every weekend. Well, my friends, that's not really realistic, right? And if you ever find that perfect church, don't join it, because then it won't be perfect anymore. Oh yeah, you know what I'm saying, because you're not perfect, I'm not perfect, and as we as imperfect people join that church, then don't expect that local church to be perfect, because every local church is made up of imperfect people, like you or like me. And so what we're talking about is, why does church membership matter so much, especially if there are imperfect churches? And so as we're explaining this, I'm going to give you five principles to understand the importance of church membership. Number one, the difference between the universal church and the local church. And so we talked a lot in that last show about the visible church and the invisible church. The visible church is what you see. The invisible church is those who are truly saved. And now we're talking about principle number two and the description of the local church. There's an assembly of people who gather together for the preaching of the word and the fellowship of the saints and the service of practicing the one another's. So there's the assembly, there's the opportunity to practice the one another's. Another part of the local church is there's a place at church, that's a place for you to be shepherded. You know, we have been looking a little bit here at the book of Acts about how the church started with the book of Acts as Christ was preached by the apostles. And throughout the book of Acts, we see Christ appointing apostles in chapter 1. The apostles then appoint the first elders, and then those elders are instructed to appoint elders in new churches that are being established. And you may ask again, where is this all coming from? Well, there's also Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 5, this is why I left you in Crete, Paul writing to Titus, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town, just as I directed you. So there we see Paul appointing elders there in Crete. What's the elder's job? Well, according to Ephesians, the Ephesian elders that Paul's addressing in actually in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. And so we see that part of the real role of shepherds is to shepherd the flock. And that's why Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3, he says, I do not exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that's to be revealed. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And so what I'm getting from all of these passages is you need to be being shepherded. The point of being a church member is partly this idea of accountability. I mean, I belong to Christ ultimately, for sure, but I also belong to Christ's people. And Christ's people go to church. And Christ's people join together with like-minded believers. And Christ has set up the ordinances of the church and the leadership of this church and the structure of the church. And what I'm saying is that God commands shepherds to shepherd. And if that's true, then he also commands sheep to be shepherded. And so we have a bunch of responsibilities as shepherds, but we also have a bunch of responsibilities as sheep. And so this leads us really into our third heading here, which is number three, the difficulty of a lack of emphasis on membership. There's a difficulty of the lack of emphasis on membership in our culture, right? I mean, when I first started this series last time, we talked about, does church membership really matter? And I think that a lot of Christians today would say, you know what? It doesn't really matter that much. What really matters is that you love Christ, you read the Bible, but whether you're a church member or not, that doesn't really matter. In fact, church membership's not in the Bible. I mean, I read many years ago about a mega church that was being planted in a metro city, and the church was just getting started, and they said, hey, we don't meet every Sunday. We only are going to meet like once a semester, and then once maybe a quarter, and then maybe once a month, because we're still trying to figure out what we are as a church. You know, and this is, again, the whole idea where people say, well, I'm going to go to that church on Sunday, but then I go to this other church during the weekday for Bible study. And basically, I'm not really a member of one single church. That's, again, the mindset of consumerism. I'll take a little bit of this church over here, a little bit of that church over there. And again, the problem with that is there's no real commitment and there's no real shepherding that's happening in the local church. So can I remind you, if that's you today, can I remind you of Hebrews 13:17? It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls." Now, again, typically young men bristle at this idea of like, wait, I got to be accountable. You know, I've just gotten out of my house. I don't want to have to submit. You know, I don't submit to my parents anymore. Why should I, as an adult, submit to my elders? Well, because that's what God's word says. You know, if you're a Christian and you're growing in Christ-likeness, then you want to obey every passage of the scripture. In Hebrews 13:17 says to you, young man, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. So let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Did you hear what this verse is saying? There's no advantage for you, young man, to do it on your own. But there is advantage to you being a part of a local church where you're submitting to those elders. And how else are you going to do that if you're not a member? I mean, my question is, which flock of God am I to submit to if I'm a Christian? You know, if I'm going to several different churches and I'm not really the part of any church, then which one am I submitting to? So I want to keep talking about this as you come back right after the break. Don't go away, because when you come back, we want to continue to talk about, does church membership really matter?
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. And listen, if you've grown up thinking church is just a place to swing by when it fits your schedule, then I know this episode is probably like a gut check. Because what Adam's talking about is not theory. What he's doing is laying out a biblical framework that presses on something that our generation desperately needs, and that is to be rooted in something. See, a lot of young guys I know feel like they're drifting away, but it's not because they don't believe the gospel, but it's because they're disconnected from the very structure God gave them to grow, which is the local church. And that's what Adam is reminding us of today. Belonging to Christ means belonging to his people. And that's not vague, that's real. And that's exactly what we're trying to reinforce every day here at Fortis. We want you to be built up, not hyped up. That's why we've launched Fortis Plus. And if you haven't checked out Fortis Plus yet, you're missing out. It's completely free. There will never be a time where you're asked for money. It's just daily biblical content with no paywalls, no subscriptions, nothing like that. Daily biblical content from pastors and theologians and brothers who are in the fight with you. 7 new pieces of content are added every single day, from theology to worldview to even daily news from yours truly, all aimed at helping men like you stay tethered. And while we're talking about biblical strength, let me also say this. If you're heading into college or you know someone who is, go take a real look at the Master's University. They have a new mechanical engineering lab, and they're not just ranked high for academics. They're training young men to lead with biblical clarity. You can find out more right now at masters.edu/manhood. And hey, if you want to help us continue to produce content just like this, just like Way of Manhood, clear, bold, and biblical, we would be honored if you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Pray about it and consider it, because in order for Fortis to stay strong, we need people just like you to join us. But make sure you're already giving faithfully to your local church. And if you're doing that and you're not strapped by any kind of unmanaged debt, find out more about what it would look like right now at FortisInstitute.org. FortisInstitute.org. All right, let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson now as he continues unpacking what real biblical church membership looks like. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, where we're talking about, does church membership matter? And my answer to that is yes. And the question that often comes up is, well, where is church membership in the Bible? I mean, I know it's important for me to be a Christian, and I know it's important for me to read the Bible, but where does it say I need to be a member of a local church? Well, that's what we've been talking about as we look at the responsibility of elders to shepherd the flock of God. How do they know which flock to shepherd if the flock hasn't been identified? Or how can you obey Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, if you're not formally the part of a local church? And so at our church, we ask people to become formal members, and we take them through a process to do that. I mean, there are lots and lots of verses, again, in the Bible, and there's lots of books that are written about how to be an expository preacher and a faithful pastor. But with that also comes the responsibility to be a faithful shepherd and to shepherd God's flock. And so I can't just show up Sunday and preach the word. I need to show up Sunday ready to use the full counsel of God's word to shepherd the flock. I need to have a pulpit and a shepherd's staff. And with that shepherd's staff, I want to lovingly and kindly shepherd the sheep. And so I'm talking here about how 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." So let me ask you, young man, are you respecting the elders that God has put over you? Are you esteeming them very highly as one who respects them? Or are you just saying, no, you know what? They can't be my boss, you know, because I'm a man too. I mean, again, elders are just men. They are not perfect. They sin and struggle like everyone else. But as long as they're serving in the place of leadership as shepherds under the chief shepherd, then they are to be esteemed highly and they are to be respected. Can I just be honest with you? Some pastors and elders are esteemed too highly. You know, they're placed on a pedestal. They can do no wrong. They function like a CEO. They can make any decision they want and everybody's got to go with it. That's showing a little bit too much respect, because I think there should be a plurality of elders working together in unity. And then there are many elders who are not esteemed highly enough. And that would be kind of the whole idea of that a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, meaning sometimes in your own church, if you get really familiar with your pastor and your elders and you start to see maybe some of their flaws and you're not so much in awe of them like some people are at a mega church, then you might not esteem them highly enough. And you might just think, well, they're just offering an opinion like anyone else. Now, don't get me wrong, shepherds are not to be domineering over the sheep, but their opinion matters. And if they're balanced in their opinion, they're just really pointing you to godly principles of Scripture that you should consider when you think about what it is, you know, the decision that you're trying to make. And so now that we've seen that the church is to being a part of a church means being a part of a local church, let's talk about which church to join, okay? Number four, the decision to join as a member of a local church. I mean, certainly, I could give you a long list of things to look for in a church, but I've boiled it down to three simple things you ought to be thinking about when you talk about joining a local church. Here's the first one: biblical theology in the preaching, worship, and ministries of the church. So we're talking about basically, is the church biblical, right? I mean, that ought to be a given, right? We want to make sure this church not only understands the gospel, but they're devoting themselves to the teaching of the word of God. And that's what we see again in the first church in the book of Acts. In Acts 2, 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." That's why I love this passage, because it says, yeah, it's about the word, but it's also about fellowship. Acts 2:43, the next verse says, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any who had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Acts 2, 42 through 47 is showing us some very key things that you're looking for in a local church. You're looking for the word being preached. You're looking for people being devoted to the gospel, right? I mean, preaching has got to be at the very helm of what you're looking for in making a good decision. I mean, are they proclaiming or heralding God's word? I mean, at our church, we practice what's called expository preaching. In fact, I would argue there's really no other kind of preaching, because expository preaching is simply explaining the text and then exhorting others to follow the text. So we are called to explain the Bible and then call people to obey the Bible. And if you're not doing that, then you're not preaching, right? And so 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So we see there that there's to be an emphasis on preaching at the church, right? Charles Spurgeon said about finding a church, he said, do not go where it is all fine music and grand talk and beautiful architecture. Those things will neither fill anybody's stomach nor feed his soul. Go where the gospel is preached, the gospel that really feeds your soul, and go often. Love that quote, right? So yeah, there's got to be preaching. But we're talking here in number one, as far as decisions about joining a church, it's got to be biblical theology in preaching and in worship. Now, the word worship, we typically think about it as just the song service, 15 minutes of the Sunday service. But worship, I think that you know, is more than that. To worship means to ascribe worth or value to God. And so worship is, sure, it's part of the service, right? But it's a lifestyle, and it's something that we do, and we do it a lot collectively when we're at the service, right? I mean, so I'm saying it's a both and. And I like how Jesus says in John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Now, again, you can do that on your own, but we also want to talk about the importance of doing that together, that you're doing that together with those at your church. And so you want to think through the worship service. If it's all bad songs with bad theology, that pretty much is going to tell you right there, you might not want to be there. You know, you want to be at a place where God's word is preached, where the songs that are being sung are biblically accurate and theologically, true to scripture. And then I think that the other aspect of this thing that I'm saying about biblical theology and preaching, worship, and ministries of the church. So now we're looking at service. Does the church have ministries? Does the church have ministries where everybody is serving faithfully in their own capacity? Because we're not just looking for people to show up for a concert, right? We're looking for people to be a part of an assembly. And that's why every member ought to be a minister. You know, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 says, of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. So that's what Paul is. And we could say that's really what every Christian ought to be. We all ought to be serving. So we like to say at our church that that if you want to be a faithful church member, you need to be here regularly on Sunday for the preaching of the word and the worship of the people. And you need to be in a small group where you can practice the one another's together. And then you need to be serving somewhere. So three S's: Sunday, small group, and service, because everybody should be serving somewhere in their local church. I mean, again, listen to what John MacArthur says on this, quote, that truth has been one of the main foundations of my approach to ministry for many years. When I first became the pastor of Grace Community Church in 1969, guys, that's the same year we put a guy on the moon, I taught a series on Ephesians, MacArthur says, and we spent a great deal of time studying the principle of Ephesians 4:11, that the pastor's duty is to equip the saints, and it is their duty to shoulder the work of the ministry. And then it goes on to say, our people quickly embraced that simple idea, and it transformed our church in a remarkable way. For one thing, we began to see dramatic growth. Within a matter of months, attendance on Sundays had ballooned to almost 1,000. About that same time, a well-known evangelical magazine asked a reporter to write an article about the growth of our church. He visited our services for several weeks, carefully observed how the ministry functioned, interviewed scores of people, and then he wrote an article titled, The Church with 900 Ministers. You see what's going on there? Everybody's called to be a minister. Everybody's called to serve. We are not looking for more people to fill the pews. We are not looking for a bunch of warm bodies so that we can up our number count. We are looking for saints who love Christ, who want to become a member and be accountable, and then they're seeking areas of service. They want to plug in and they want to sacrifice and they want to serve in their local church. And if that's not your mentality, then you don't have a healthy view of church membership. Let me pray for you that God would help continue to work in your heart and in your life in this area. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to talk more about church membership. And I pray for that young man who's trying to pick the right church. Give him wisdom, Lord. Help him to look to your word at some of these examples we're learning even out of the book of Acts, and help him to want to plug into a church where he can be of service. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.